Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're seeing men and women who took God at His Word. The whole passage basically deals with people from the Old Testament who lived their lives trusting Jesus, trusting God in His Word and looking forward to the coming Messiah. Hebrews 11, as we said, is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And as we look at this section, that's our goal, is to be like this, to be like men, be men and women who take God at His Word. And, you know, we've been seeing this, and that faith is the key. It's the key in our lives. And Stephen mentioned it a while ago when he talked about it, because we said that we come to God by faith. I mean, it's the whole basis. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace we've been saved through faith, and not ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's faith. We come to God by faith. Salvation is by faith. But the whole Christian life, we live the Christian life by faith. Colossians 2:6, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. We receive Him by faith. We live by faith. And that's the plan. Day after day, it's a walk of faith as we seek to live for God. This morning, we're going to take a look at Joseph. And when we think of Joseph, we all go, oh, Joseph, here's Jacob's sons, and he had Reuben, and he had Joseph, and Simeon, and Levi, and Benjamin, and all that. But Joseph sort of stands out. Because when you think of Joseph, you think Joseph, the man with the coat of many colors. I mean, he just stands there, and we love him. Everybody thinks Joseph's the favorite, and he was the favorite. As we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see what we call instructions by faith. Because Joseph says, here's what I want you to do. He brings in his family, he brings in his brothers, and he tells them, I'm going to die. And when I die, here's what's going to happen. Here's what I want you to do. And so as we look at this, we see these instructions by faith. Let me raise this question as we start. Do we trust God not only today, but for the future? I mean, we think about it, the Christian life is a walk of faith day by day, but there are things that God has actually already promised us. Things that we know that He says, I'm going to do. Let me show you this. I'll put this little chart. And you don't have to look at all of it because there's so much stuff on there. But here's where Jesus came. Whoops. Let me get there if I can. I don't know what happened. Did I go the wrong way? Yeah, okay. I'm not very good at this. We see here's Jesus dying on the cross, paying for sin, rising again. He's ascending to heaven. And this is us. We're in the church age. What has He promised us? He says one of these days He's going to come into clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. We are alive and remain to be caught up together with Him. That's the rapture. That's a promise. Following that, there's going to be 7-year time period on the earth. And then a promise. He's coming back to the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to rule and reign with Him in righteousness for 1,000 years. And then there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth and eternity. Those are all promises. And the truth is, do we believe that? Do we say, this is what's coming? The next event, Jesus could come in the clouds at any second and we'll be gone. Do we believe that we're going to come back to this earth and live with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years? And do we believe that there'll be an eternity and it will be in the holy city that we've already seen as we've been going through these passages, the new Jerusalem, the holy city? He has told us what's going to happen. And do we believe this? Well, as we look at Joseph, do you know Joseph knew about some future things? And he believed it, and he told his brothers, this is what's going to happen, so here's what I want you to do, because I believe what God has said. And that's what we need to do. As we think about it, let's think about faith, and we've been seeing this. We said faith is actually just taking God at His word. When people talk about what's the definition of faith, faith is trusting God, taking God at His word, believing what His word is to be says. In fact, one of the words is persuaded that it is true. That's what faith is, taking God at His word. We talk about a walk of faith, and a walk of faith is living our lives based on the truths and principles from the Word of God. We live out our faith. We live our lives based on the Scripture. The key in faith, of course, is the object. I mean, it is. That's the key. The object of our faith for salvation is Jesus Christ. The object of our faith for the Christian life is really the Word of God. It all goes back to the Bible. Even the things we know about Jesus goes back to the Bible. But for salvation, we put our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And then as we live our Christian life, we live our life based on the Word of God. And so that's really the key. And that's what we want to do. We want to be men and women of faith. And we just think about all the things that God has done for us in this passage. And one of the reasons I wanted to do Hebrews chapter 11 is, and you normally we take books and we go verse by verse, passage by passage through books, and we will do that as always. But this passage is so powerful. And I thought about the fact that as we get ready to move into a building, and what we've seen for almost 3 years is men and women living by faith. trusting God about this church and this body and what we're doing and the plans and the dreams and the goals. And that's why I think Hebrews 11 is so powerful. What have we seen? We've seen some people. We've seen that by faith Abel offered the sacrifice, and by faith Enoch walked with God, and by faith Noah built the ark and worked, and by faith obedience Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees to go to a land that God promised him. And then we see by faith Sarah was able to have that child, and by faith Abraham was offering up his son. And we've seen Isaac and Jacob, and by faith they did the blessings. Well, this morning we're going to see what we call instructions by faith, and we're going to see the famous one, Joseph. And in Hebrews 11, that's what I call it, instructions. Basically, the verse says, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. He gave orders. I'm calling it instructions, but he gave orders. Let's think about Joseph for just a second, and let's think about who this guy was. He was the favorite son of Jacob. When you think about Jacob, Jacob's other name was, anybody know? What's Jacob's other name? Israel. There he is. Okay, so here's Jacob. He had 12 sons, and his 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. His oldest son was Reuben, there's Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and then toward the end, there was Joseph and Benjamin. Benjamin was actually named Benami when he was born, which means son of my sorrow, but after his mama died, Jacob renamed him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Joseph was the one. Jacob looked at Joseph, and he was his favorite son, and we saw last time he gave him the double portion. We saw that out of all these boys, Joseph was smart and sharp and everything. And Joseph had these dreams. And he said, I had these dreams. And he told his brothers, he said, I had this dream that all of y'all are going to bow down to me. And they went, right, yeah, you're our youngest brother, and we're going to all bow down to you. They didn't like him. I hate to say this, but he was sort of a smart aleck. I hate to say it, because Joseph, you can't find any sin in the scripture that Joseph did. Even though when Joseph prays, he prays and talks about his sin. But We see this. Anyway, so one day, his father sent him to see his brothers and said, go take them some food, find out what they're doing. And so he went, and as they saw him coming, they said, here comes that dreamer, and let's get him. And they got him, and they threw him down in a cistern, and they were going to kill him. And then one of the brothers said, I don't think we ought to kill him. And then while one of the brothers who said, let's don't kill him, we'll do something else, went somewhere else. They saw some Ishmaelites, some Midianites coming through, and they picked him up and sold him for 30 pieces of silver, and he's gone. And, of course, they had to lie to their father. They came back and said, I think an animal ate him. And they took his coat of many colors and put blood of some animal on it and took it back and said, we think this is your son's coat, and I think an animal ate him up. And, Jacob went, my life is over. This is my son. This is the one that I love the most. Well, Joseph was taken off, and he was sold to a guy named Potiphar, who was the Pharaoh's bodyguard, and did so good until Potiphar's wife liked him and got in trouble, ended up running away, and then ended up getting put in prison. And while he was in prison, those dreams came back, and he was able to tell the future, and the Pharaoh found out about it, and they brought Joseph forward, and he said, I've had a couple of really weird dreams. Can you tell me what they mean? And he said, I can't, but God can. And he told him, and Pharaoh moved him to number two on the all-time list, right? It's Pharaoh and Joseph. And the famine came just like the promises, just like the dreams were, and everything went wrong. And Jacob and his sons were starving to death, and they sent to Egypt because they heard there was food. And finally, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers when they came, and he said, it's me. And they said, we thought you were dead, and I'm here. And the whole family came to live in Egypt. And that's where we've been. Because we saw last week when it said, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed Joseph's sons. They're all living in Egypt. Joseph's still number two on the list. He's doing great. He's got sons. Jacob's there, who's now famous in Egypt himself. And he blessed Joseph's sons. And that's where we are. But to understand exactly what's going on. And by the way, I want you to understand that this time Joseph has forgiven his brothers. They thought that he would kill him because they realized he was in great power in Egypt and they had sold him off to slavery and their lives were as good as dead. He said, no, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. So don't worry about it. We got a lot of time together here. To be able to understand what's going on, I need you to see this. God had made some promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and it dealt with a covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham, and it got passed on to Isaac, it got passed on to Jacob, and it gets passed on down, and he promised him a land, the seed, and the blessing. The land is what we call the land of Israel. The seed is the offspring and the ultimate Messiah, and the blessing is its salvation to the world through the Jewish people, through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's what was promised to them. They're not living in the land. There's been a big famine. They went to Egypt. They're now in Egypt. So I want you to remember that the Jewish people, when we're studying this passage, they are not living in their land. They are living in Egypt. Look at Hebrews 11:22. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying toward the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Now, near the end of his life, when he's about to die, it says, by faith, Joseph did this by faith. He did two things, really. He's talked about two things. One, he made mention of the Exodus. What Exodus? Exodus means to go out. They're not supposed to stay in the land of Egypt. He's made mention of the fact that they're not going to stay in Egypt. They're going to go back to the promised land. But he also gave some instructions. He gave orders concerning his bones. Let's see this. Hold your place there in Hebrews 11 and go to Genesis chapter 50. We're at the end, basically, of the book of Genesis. And if you want to, just look at Genesis 50, verse 22. That's where we'll start. Now, when you think of Genesis, think of this book. It begins in the first 11 chapters with four great events: creation, fall, flood, and division. And then the rest of the book is four great people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So when you think of Genesis, just think, first 11 chapters, four great events: creation, fall, flood, division. And then chapters 12 through 50, think of four great people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That's how the book fits together. We're at the end where we're talking about Joseph. And I want you to see, he gives us information about Joseph's life. Look at Genesis 50, verse 22. Now Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. We said, well, that's long, but Abraham lived a lot longer than that. Abraham lived 175. Isaac lived longer than that. So Joseph lived 110 years. Now I want you to understand something. If you lived in Egypt at this time with the Jewish people are famous because Joseph is famous. Joseph saved the whole nation. Joseph saved the world. Joseph was number two to Pharaoh, and Joseph's family is here. They came in with 75 people. And so Joseph is famous, and if you're Jewish and you're in Egypt and you say, I'm related to Joseph, they go, bless your heart. We love Joseph. He's our hero. He saved all our lives. Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons. Also the sons of Micah, the sons of Manasseh, were born on Joseph's. Now he not only saw his sons, he saw his grandsons. He saw his great-grandsons. What blessings. Now watch what he does. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land, watch, to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I'm going to die, but you remember that God made a promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob that we would take you to this land. God's going to fulfill his promise that they would live in the land. So he's going to talk first about that he's going to bring you up from this land, and he's going to talk about the Exodus. Now, you may wonder, Exodus comes from a Greek word. Even though it's the title of a Hebrew book, it's not really their title. That's our title. Their title is coming out. That's what it's called. We call it Exodus, which comes from ek, means out of, and ados means way. It means the way out. They're coming out of Egypt. God says that he will bring his people from Egypt. Joseph says, I can remember God's promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to take us to the land. So he says, you're going to leave here one day. I want to show you something. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But if you go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were all three promised the land, the seed, and the blessing. This is very important. It's important for today. There's arguments today on who does the land, which we called Israel today, Who does that land belong to? There are arguments all over the world. There are people who say the Jewish people don't have any right to be there. People say the only reason they came is after World War II, and people gave them a little split of land. And listen, that's been their land from the beginning. That was their land given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. That is their land promised by God. And the land that they're in now is not even, it's a small portion of the land that God promised them. He promised them land going from the Nile River to the Tigris-Euphrates River. That's Genesis 15 and Genesis 17. If you look at the dimension of the land, it is much bigger than even the land today. So when people are arguing over whose land is it, it was given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and on down, the land, the seed, the blessing. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it was promised to Abraham. I want you to see this. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. In Genesis 26, 3, it was promised to Isaac. Same promise given to Abraham was given to Isaac in Genesis 26. And then in Genesis 28, the same promise was given to Jacob. So I want you to understand, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and all the way down, those promises are for the Jewish people. Joseph is about to die. He knows that land belongs to his people. They are living where? Egypt. He said, I'm going to die. One of these days, you're going back to the land. That's what God promised. He knew that God made a promise. It was a future promise. They're in Egypt. You're going to be back there. Joseph holds to the word of God. He says, they will take you out. Notice what he says in verse 24. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised to who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, he trusted God's promises. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you trust God's promises? And I'm not only talking about day in to day out promises, but what about the future? Do you know that he's gone to prepare a place for you? Do you believe that he's going to come in the clouds one day and take you out of here? Do you believe one day you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things that you've done? Do you believe one day you're going to come back with Jesus Christ to this earth and rule in righteousness and justice for 1,000 years? Do you believe one day that he has gone to prepare this city for you, called the New Jerusalem, the Holy City, and you will live there for all eternity and serve him forever? Do you believe those promises are true? In the same way that Joseph said, I know he promised us the land. We're not living there now. We will. I guarantee you, you're leaving one day to go back to the land. Do you hold to the promises that God has promised you, especially those future promises? You know what he said? You're going to have a new body. When he comes in the clouds, in a moment, a twinkle of an eye will be changed. In Philippians, he says, this body will be like his body. Now, Joseph is saying to his people, one day, you will leave here and go back. Now, we'd say, well, that sounds real good because right now, everybody's happy. But what about the problems in Egypt and the captivity? Did Joseph know that there was going to be a captivity? Did Joseph know that after he died, there would be a Pharaoh rise up who did not know Joseph, and he was got afraid, and he saw the Jewish people populating so much? He said, I'm a little worried about these people. They may take us over. We're going to make them slaves. And the new Pharaoh made them slaves. Does Joseph know about that? Does Joseph know that there's going to be a lot of problems for the Jewish people one of these days? Are they really going to get to go back to the land? What if they do become slaves? Will they ever get out of there? I want you to see something you may have never noticed. It's found in Genesis 15. Turn back to Genesis 15. And this is the man that started it all, Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 12. I want you to see this. This is amazing. Let me ask you a question. Did Joseph know that the Jewish people would be in captivity? We say, well, how could he know? Look at Genesis 15. Look at verse 12. This is Abraham. From Abraham to Isaac, to Isaac to Jacob, to Jacob to Joseph. Listen to this. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. That's Abraham. This is God doing something. And behold, a terror and a great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abraham, know for certain your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. Did Abraham know that his people would eventually be slaves? Did Isaac know that? Yes. Did Jacob know that? Yes. Does Joseph know this? Yes, when he says, you're coming out of here, he's not saying, unless the captivity keeps us here. Now, watch what it goes on to say. Verse 14, I will judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions. I want you to understand that Abraham knew one day his people in the future would be slaves and come out wealthy. Isaac knew his people would be slaves and come out wealthy. Jacob knew his people would be slaves and come out wealthy. Joseph knows one day, even though they're in Egypt, one day they're going to be slaves, but they're going to come out wealthy. It's powerful. Go back to chapter 50. He says, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land which he promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. He knows it's going to happen. And he spoke of the Exodus. That's what he's talking about. Now watch. There's a second thing that he talks about. Remember we said that he talked about the Exodus, but he talked about his bones. And look what he says. Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. What? Now let me ask you something. You realize, is Joseph famous in Israel? I mean, in Egypt? I mean, he's the top of the line. You know what they did when they died? They mourned for him over 30 days. They took his body and embalmed it and put it on display in Egypt. He's that famous. He says, when I die, I'm not really sure what they're going to do to me, but when I die, I want you to get my bones, and when you leave and go back to the promised land, I want you to take my bones with you. Can you picture this? He's in this big thing, and they come and say, excuse me, we need to take this. Thank you so much. You know, we're going to take this out with us. That's what they're going to do. Do they do that? Is that what happens? Why did he want them to take his bones? You know why? So that when he's resurrected, he'll be in the land of Israel. He didn't want to raise from the dead in Egypt. He wants to raise from the dead in Israel. See, if you're questioning whether people in the Old Testament understood resurrection, you remember what Job said? And Job lived the same time Abraham. He said, one day I'll die and my body will see corruption, but in this flesh I will see my God. He knew he'd be raised from the dead. What did Joseph know? Hey, I don't want to be raised from the dead in this land. I want to be raised from the dead in my land, in the land that God promised us. Let's think about resurrection for a second. Do you understand it? I've had people, and I've talked to people about resurrection, and they say, oh, well, you know, like when you die, your body goes in the ground, and then you're like this spirit deal, and like you live all eternity. No, you don't. Not in the way it works at all. First of all, let's talk about resurrection. First of all, Jesus Christ is the one that brings resurrection. He's the one that died and rose again, conquering death. Death is defeated. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? There's not one. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died and rose again, died to pay for sin, rose again to conquer death. Jesus Christ has conquered death for every human being. Every human being will be raised from the dead. Resurrection is of the body. I just want you to understand that. Don't look at verse number 3 yet, but resurrection of the body. Resurrection is not talking about spirit. It's talking about bodily. So every time the Bible talks about resurrection, it's talking about a human body coming back from the dead like this. Be taller, of course, but anyway, it's going to come back like this. The third thing, there are two resurrections. Do you understand that? There's a first resurrection called the resurrection of life. There's a second resurrection called the second death, or it's also called the resurrection of damnation. You may not understand it, but there's two different resurrections. The first resurrection has parts to it. I want to show you this if I can get it. There we go. Now, the first resurrection has three parts. Jesus died and rose again. That's the first part of the first resurrection. When Jesus comes in the clouds and the church is raised from the dead, that's part two of the first resurrection. When Jesus Christ comes as the king and sets up the kingdom, all the Old Testament saints will be raised. That's part three of the first resurrection. The first resurrection are all people who have believed in the Messiah. And that's Jesus dying and rose again. He's the first to rise from the grave. That's the church rising from the grave. That's the Old Testament saints rising from the grave. There will be a 1,000-year reign, and then there will be another resurrection. I didn't put it on this chart, but it's called the second death. It's a resurrection of the unbelievers. They stand before the great white throne judgment, and they are separated from God. So there are two resurrections. Let me go back here. There are two resurrections. So one, and here's the big question. What determines which resurrection you're in? What determines whether you're connected with Jesus, the church, and the Old Testament? It's by faith. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah and Savior, you will be a part of the first resurrection. If you reject Jesus Christ as Savior, you will be a part of the second resurrection, which you're raised from the dead to be separated from God forever. That's why it's called the resurrection of damnation, which means a separation. It's also called the second death. What happened? What happened? Because we see Joseph said, listen, when I die, you're coming out of here. I know this. I know you're coming out. And when I die, I want you to take me with you, take my bones. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 13. Just a few pages up. They're coming out. Do this first. Look at Exodus chapter 12, okay? First, verses 35 and 36. Do you remember what was the promise to Abraham? That they would be slaves for 400 years, and what would it be like when they came out of Egypt or came out of that land? They would be rich. Watch this. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 35, now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they requested from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Did the Jewish people come out of Egypt rich? That's exactly what was told to Abraham. Look at chapter 13. Look at verse 18. They're leaving. Hence, God led the people around the way, by the way of the wilderness, to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the lands of Egypt. Moses did what? Took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. He did it. They did it. Can you see them as they were leaving? They were saying, by the way, Mr. Pharaoh, we're going to get Joseph's bones. Thank you so much. And they just go right out the door. That's exactly what they did. Do you realize it's all the way to Joshua chapter 24? I think I might have a slide for that. Joshua 24, that's when they buried Joseph in the land. After they'd come into the land and defeated the enemy, they buried him. His bones are there. When Jesus Christ comes, the second coming, to set up the kingdom, and we're coming with him, Joseph will be raised in Israel just as God promised. Hebrews 11. He mentioned the Exodus and trusted God's promises, and he gave instruction concerning his bones because he wanted to be resurrected in the land. By faith, he took God at his word. He said, I know what God told Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. One day they're going back to the land, and that's our land, and it's going to happen regardless of whether we're in captivity or not. It doesn't make any difference. We're going back to the land, and I want you to take my bones by faith. Applications. Let's be men and women of faith. I mean, let's trust God. Let's live according to the word of God, knowing that he's going to do whatever he says. Whatever he says. And think about this, and I hope everybody's got that written. Let's be men and women of faith. Here's number two. Let's trust God for the future promises. He's going to prepare a new home. He's going to give us a new body. He's promised us eternal life. He promised us rewards. He promised that we'd be in the holy city, New Jerusalem. He promised there'll be a king in the kingdom. He promised one day there'll be no more tears or sadness. That's going to happen because every one of us have something that has broken our hearts. And one day it won't be that way because that's his promise. One more thing. Look forward to the resurrection. Jesus Christ for us will come in the clouds, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We who arrive and remain be caught up together with him. Thus we'll be with the Lord. Thus comfort one another with these words. Philippians 3 says he's going to us come and we'll be changed to have a glorious body like his. That's the first resurrection. Now, if you want to be in the first resurrection, And that's what you want to be in. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus died for you on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And he offers the gift of eternal life. And if you, and I hope and pray that every one of you in this room have already trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But if not, right where you're sitting right now, you can trust Jesus Christ to give you eternal life. You can believe that he's the one who died and rose again. He's the one that offers you the gift of eternal life. And by faith alone in Christ alone, you can have eternal life. When we go out these doors, we need to tell people that message. And for those of us as believers, we need to be excited about living for Jesus Christ and looking forward to the promises.